give the Lord some praise one more time. How many love Jesus here this morning? Praise the Lord. How many glad they came to church? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It feels good to be in God's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know it may be raining on the outside, but it's sunny on the inside? Amen. It's always a sunny day when you have the sun in your life. Does anybody have the sun in their life? Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's no place I'd rather be but in God's house, with God's people. Amen. Worshiping the Lord. Amen. How many glad they came here to worship the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, amen, I'm going to preach on my topic is giving. Amen. Is giving. Why give to the church? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I feel like I don't have to do it because Josh already just taught us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stole my whole message. Amen. Well, not really. Amen. But most of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's always good. Amen. To come and just worship the Lord. I don't know. But to, you know, just, you know, just to being in the presence of God. Amen. And you know, one of the things we got to be careful with is that we got to always be careful that we don't get used to being in church. You know what I mean? Not be in church. I'm talking about, you know, remember that when you come to church, you're worshiping the Lord.
Right.
Amen. You're worshiping the Lord. Amen. You're giving to the Lord.
Right.
Amen. You're praying to the Lord. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, coming to church, you know, as you know, year in, year out. Amen. Sometimes we can miss it. Amen. And it becomes religious and it becomes just something that we do. And we can be in worship or at worship, but not in worship. Right? And we want to make sure that we're in worship.
Yes.
Worshiping God.
Amen.
Amen. That we're just not singing the song, but we're not even thinking about God.
Come on,
somebody. Amen. That our whole mind is on God right now. Your whole mind needs to be on God.
Amen.
Right now. And if it hasn't been, you know, because and it happens because we're human and we're thinking about a million other things, right? We're thinking about so many things, but we got to focus in on God here this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And so let's do that here, amen, this morning. And why don't we do that through worship, amen? Before we get into the word, just lift your hands and maybe you missed that opportunity during worship at this time, amen. Focus your whole worship, your whole attention to God as the worship team sings that song, amen. Praise the Lord.
Let's just worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your breath in our lungs. We thank you, Lord, for giving us life, the opportunity to be here in your presence. Lord, remove all distractions. And God, let us be focused on your voice here this morning. Let us hear the voice behind the voice. And Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody says, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big, big hand clap of praise here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Amen. You did a beautiful job here this morning. Amen. This morning, amen, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes. Amen. And this morning I titled this message, Why Give to the Church? Why Give to the Church? Amen. All churches do is talk about money. Amen. That is the saying of some of the non-church goers.
Right.
It's not, there's no denying that some churches, just as some media ministries, present themselves as a perpetual fundraising machine. But it's not like that with all churches.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Not all churches are like that. We're not always like that. We talk about money a lot. We do. We talk about finances. But that's not all we talk about. We preach on winning souls.
Right.
We preach on the spiritual disciplines. We preach on prayer. Friday I talked about prayer.
Amen.
The importance of prayer. We preach on fasting. We preach on discipleship. But we also preach and teach on the topic of giving.
Amen.
But nevertheless, the stereotype among people that don't come to church is that all preachers are a little more than money mad. They're religious racketeers, and that they see every church service as an opportunity to talk about money,
come on.
To call for cash in the name of God.
Come on.
But in light of this common misconception, why bring up the subject? Why bring up this subject? Why reinforce the idea that all the church wants is money? Because the issue of giving to the church should be talked about in the church.
Amen.
And it should be talked about occasionally.
Amen.
Because there's a lot of biblical reasons that Christians should give to the church.
Amen.
This morning, I want to give you about 9 or 10. I don't know if I'm going to be able to cover all of them, but I'm going to try my best. And the first reason is because giving shows love and gratitude for Jesus Christ.
Right, amen.
Giving shows that you love Jesus. Giving shows that you're grateful for what Jesus did for you. It reminds me of the tax collector in the New Testament that, you know, that was always ripping people off and charging people more taxes than what he should. And then one day Jesus came to his house and he got saved. And all of a sudden, when he got saved, the Bible says that he went to his stash and started to give out money. He started to pay restitution to all the people that he ripped off.
Yeah.
In other words, he started to give. And he said, here and now, the scripture says, here and now, I want to give to the poor, he said.
Yeah.
I want to give back to the community. Why? Because he was a man that at one time used to rip people off. But when he met Jesus, Jesus changed his life. And all of a sudden, he became a giver.
Amen.
Yes. So if you're a Christian, the main reason you should give to the church is that you love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you're grateful for what he's done in your life. Does anybody here love Jesus?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus, I pray that by the end of the service, you will love Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that by the end of the service, you will experience the love of Jesus.
Amen.
But because you can't love Jesus until you first experience his love.
Right.
I was sitting there in worship and listening to the worship song, and I couldn't help but to remember how I came in a broken man. I came in brokenhearted. I came in confused. I came in the mire. I came in the gutter. I came in, you know, dirty with sin. I came in messed up. Oh, but I look at my life today. And I want to let you know that I don't have a broken heart. I'm not in the miry clay, because Jesus lifted me up out of the gutter. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. And I'm grateful for the work that Jesus did in my life. I shouldn't be wearing a tie. I shouldn't be wearing a suit. I shouldn't be sitting next to a beautiful woman of God. I shouldn't be here today. But I'm grateful for what Jesus did. He saved me. He redeemed me. I should be in prison right now. I should be dead right now. Oh, but I'm a grateful man, because Jesus saved my life. And that's why Jesus deserves my credit card. Jesus deserves my debit card. Jesus deserves my checkbook. He deserves my cash. Why? Because I love Jesus, and I'm grateful for what Jesus did for my life. I'm a grateful man. See, this has to be our motivation to give, is that we're grateful and that we love Jesus.
Amen.
This is the motivation which Paul the Apostle, he wanted the Corinthian Christians to give out of. He wanted to give them. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you can turn there. As an apostle, Paul had every right to command the church to give. But he didn't exercise that authority. Instead, he used a different method. He used a different way. These believers in Corinth, the Bible says they had promised to give an offering that Paul could take to the poverty-stricken Christians in Jerusalem. But they hadn't followed through with that promise. They hadn't followed through with that commitment. It's like some people in church, sometimes they make a promise, they make a pledge, and they don't follow through. Paul had the same problem in his day. Come on, somebody. I'm amongst good company with Paul. Come on now. And so what did Paul do? He reminded them. Just like sometimes pastor has to remind you. The leaders have to remind. Come on, somebody. The apostle Paul, he just reminded them of the promise they made. Of the commitment they made. They didn't make it to the pastor. They didn't make it to the apostle Paul. They made it to God. Some churches in Macedonia that were much poorer than the Corinthian church, because the Corinthian church was known to be a wealthy church. It was in a city kind of like the DFW area. In other words, there was a lot of work. There was a lot of money in that city. But the churches that were in Macedonia were a lot poorer. But Paul started to provoke the Corinthian church, and he began to testify how much the Macedonians had given, and they were in a poorer part of the city.
Wow.
You know that it's statistically right that they say that poorer Christians give more than richer Christians.
Wow.
Not in the sense of the amount, in the sense of the sacrifice.
Yes, right.
Oh, I said I'm in the right place. Come on, somebody. I'm reaching the right people. Come on now. Some churches in Macedonia that were much poorer than the Corinthians had already given far beyond their means. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 4, we see those verses. And it says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. And their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These churches, even though they were poor, they say, man, we're even though we may not have a lot, even though we don't have a lot of means, oh, they still went far beyond their means to give to God, the scripture declares. And then when you skip down to verses 8 and 9, Paul asked the Corinthian church to examine their love for Christ. He said to examine their love for Christ by comparing their default with what the Macedonians had done and with what Christ has done for them. In other words, he's saying, listen, I know you love Jesus. Right? We always say, do you love Jesus? Yeah, we love Jesus. I could picture Paul, you know, telling the Corinthian church, all right, you love Jesus. Amen. Amen. They're all saying to me, yeah, we love Jesus. On, and then he hits them with the wham wham. You love Jesus, but do you love them more than the Macedonians?
Uh-oh.
Come on now. Because according to the books, the Macedonians are showing that they love Jesus more. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And they're more, and they have less finances. They have less finances. And he said, listen, you got to examine yourself, Corinthians. You got to examine. And sometimes as Christians, we got to examine ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we examine ourselves, we really got to, it's like we really got to examine ourselves rightly. Huh? We can't just say that we love Jesus, but is there concrete evidence to show that you love Jesus?
Amen. Hello.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Or in other words, when you go and look, because there's online banking, right? When you go online, come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? We used to say when you go check your checkbook, right? Yeah. But nowadays it's like online banking.
Yeah.
By your online banking, your setup, what does that say of your love for Jesus?
Mm.
I mean, I know what it says about your love for McDonald's. Oh, come on, somebody. I know what it says about your love for Walmart.
Oh.
You love Wally Martinez. Oh. Come on, somebody. Huh? Walmart, McDonald's, Jack in the Box. Come on now. Huh? We love Walmart. Huh? It should be on there. Victory Outreach.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Victory Outreach.
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
And you know, it's okay to have Wally Martinez on there and McDonald's. I love me a double cheeseburger. Come on, somebody. But, you know, it's one thing for the double cheeseburger, you know, to be 99 cents.
Oh.
Come on now. That's okay, you know. But come on, how many know the church, huh?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be 99 cents.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Huh? And here Paul was telling, listen, this side, examine yourself. Examine your hearts. He says to them, examine your love for Christ by comparing their default with what the Macedonians had done and with what Christ has done for them. He says, I speak not by commandment, the apostle said, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Huh? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich.
Amen.
That is a heavy, heavy statement Paul made. That he says, consider Jesus. Jesus was rich.
That's right.
He was in heaven walking on streets of gold. He had it made in the shade.
Come on, somebody.
But yet he came down to this filthy ghetto. He came down to the mud and the miry clay to save sinners like you and I. He was rich, but yet he became poor. He says, think about Jesus. And he says, follow in his footsteps. Follow in his ways. Paul, it says that Paul was testing the sincerity of their love. That's what the scripture says. Doesn't it say that in verse 8 and 9?
Yeah.
He says, I want you to test the sincerity of your love. And what is he talking about? He's talking about giving.
Yeah, man.
Huh? He's talking about giving. Listen, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Huh? You can give stuff and not even feel anything for somebody.
Huh? Right.
But you cannot feel something for somebody without giving them something.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? You cannot say you love God and not be moved to give to God.
Amen.
Well, you may say, well, show me God and I'll give to him. Come on now. This is the body of Christ.
Amen.
The church is the body of Christ. Every time you come to church, you're seeing a glimpse of God.
Amen.
You're seeing a glimpse of God. And so this is why you give in the church.
Amen.
Because when you give to the church, it's giving directly to God.
Amen. That's right.
And he's saying, no. He says that Paul was testing the sincerity of their love by their giving. Love for Christ above all else was to be the reason they brought their coins to church for the offering. But it also reminds them how Jesus, how he was rich, though he impoverished himself by coming to earth in order to what? In order to give us richness. I'm a rich man today.
Right.
Not because of what I got in my bank account,
right,
but because of who I got in my heart.
Right.
I'm rich because I'm rich because I got all the spiritual blessings from on high, the Bible says. I'm rich right now. Listen, I may not look, I may not drive a Rolls Royce. Come on, somebody. I may not drive a BMW. I may not live in a mansion, but I got a mansion. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, Jesus is building it right now. Hello, somebody. It's under construction. Come on now. And when I get to heaven, I ain't going to need a BMW. Come on. Because I'm going to have streets of gold, my God. And if they do have cars, I imagine how the cars are going to be. He was testing the sincerity of the faith. Jesus became poor, so that he could make us rich. And that's what we do when we give. When we give, it might hurt our pocket. When we give, it might decrease our finances. But listen, we're giving to make other people rich. Come on now. We're giving so that somebody else can become rich in Christ. We're giving so that when somebody else steps into the church, there is a worship service. There is a men's home. There is a Bible study. There is marriage counseling. There is ministers. There is a place where they can come and get help and become rich the same way we become rich. Because you're a rich person. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, what's up, Richard? What's up, Richie Rich? Come on now. I don't think you understand. I don't think you compete. I don't think you understand. You are a rich person because you got Jesus Christ in your life. You are a millionaire. You're a billionaire. If there was another word, I'd say it.
Come on now.
But you're rich, my friend, because you got Jesus in your life.
That's right. Amen.
When we give of our riches, we make other people rich.
Amen.
That's why we're having a drama tonight, so that we can make other people rich.
Yes.
We invite people. We pass out thousands of flyers so that we can make other people rich.
Yes.
And it takes finances to do that.
Right. That's right.
We give. See, God. These were inspired words that God gave Paul. Not only for them, but for us. These words were given to Paul by God 2,000 years ago, but not just for the Corinthian church, but it was also given for Victory Outreach Grand Prairie.
Yeah.
If God wanted them to examine and their love, then how much more does he want us to examine our love?
Amen.
Through our giving.
Come on.
Through our giving. See, this is why it's important that we give our tithes and offerings.
Amen.
We say it all the time. If you give your tithes, praise God. If you love Jesus, you're obeying Jesus.
Amen.
You obey him. But what about the offering?
Hello.
See, it's the offering where it's the overflow.
Amen.
It's the overflow. Come on now.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, man. I gave my tithes on Friday tonight, but this morning I gave an offering. It's the overflow. Come on now. And it ain't over. Come on. Before the service, I might have to give some more.
Hello.
I'll come tonight and I'll give some more.
Yeah.
That's the overflow.
Yeah.
It's the overflow. It's the overflow. Not because I want something back from God, but because I love God.
Yeah.
Because I love the Lord. So despite all the differences between time and the culture of now and then, God, this scripture still rings true for us today. That we are still to give because we love God.
Amen. Good.
In the next chapter, in chapter 9, in verse 7, Paul gives further instructions about giving to the church. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7. He says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Bill, he'll take money from Bitter Beer Face.
Come on.
And he'll take money from a Grinch too.
Right. Come on.
But he loves a cheerful giver.
That's right.
This is why when you come give at the altar, you shouldn't be mad.
Come on now.
When you come, I'll never forget when I went to West Africa to Lagos, Nigeria, when they picked up the offering. I mean, I hardly understood the service. Come on now. But they were happy people, man. They were happy people.
Yeah.
And they, man, they were, you know, they didn't. There was a poor country. I mean, slums. You see the little commercials on TV, and you see the slums, and you're like, you see the babies, and they're like, they're starving. That's how it looked. I was there. I was in that slum.
Come on.
We would walk through. We would witness, pass out flyers, invite people to the drama. But yet, when I went to the church would be packed out. And when it came down to the offering,
hello,
it was a little church. And then they would hold, and but they, you know, it would be one person holding up, it would be like, or one or two people holding a bucket, but they had a big bucket. Come on now. A little church, but they had a big bucket. Show me they had big faith. And when they would give, they would dance to the altar. They would do the chicken dance. And they were like, you know, and I don't know what they were singing, but man, they had a good beat. Come on, somebody. And they would have their offering. And, you know, and my community, not the offering took about 30, 45 minutes. Because everybody, man, was like dancing, going to the bucket. And then some people would just stay up there for a while and just break it down. And I'm serious. And they would dance, man. And all of a sudden, all the Americans that were there, because we're crusading, all of a sudden they had us doing the chicken dance.
Yeah.
Huh? And we were giving to the Lord. And I remember this one song was Yaba Yosheo Yaba.
Uh-oh.
Yosheo Yaba. Daba doody dee. That's all I know. Something like that. And I said, it's a beautiful song. It's beautiful. You know, but I would look at it, I would tell my African friend, what does it mean? He's saying, it says it means in essence, you're saying, we love you, God.
That's right.
We love you, God. What a beautiful presence. And yet they were so poor.
On,
they
man.
Were poor, but yet they gave cheerfully.
Amen.
They gave cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
He loves a cheerful giver. And it should be our attitude during giving that we give cheerfully with the cheerful hearts.
Amen.
Huh? Giving, listen, giving should come from the hearts.
Right,
all true love gives. And love for God is no exception. I love my wife.
Amen.
This is why I try to give her stuff. Come on now.
Yeah. Come on,
I try to give her stuff. For our anniversary, I give her a gift.
Right,
her birthday's coming up.
Hello.
Come on now.
I'm thinking of a master plan.
Hey,
come on now.
Come on now.
She knows it. She starts her birthday. Her birthday comes around. She says, I need this. I don't got this.
Oh.
I said, I got you, honey. I got you, boo.
Come on,
come on, somebody.
Amen.
She learned over the years. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Because before she wouldn't say nothing, and she would just settle for whatever I got her. Amen. Get her stuff that don't fit. Come on now. Come on, right? Come on now. Huh? So I think she caught on. I got to be specific. Come on, somebody.
Right.
And I love my wife, and if she asks, I do my best to give it to her.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen.
Huh? She knows. She knows not to ask, you know, for something I can't give her. Come on now.
Amen.
Huh? Come on. Sometimes she dreams. Amen. Come on now.
Right.
Sometimes she has big vision. Come on now. Praise God. She has to throw it out there. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm the same way, you know, when my birthday's coming around, oh, I make it be known, November 7th.
Come on now.
Mark it down. Amen.
Gotcha.
And, you know, praise God. But I love to, and I love to give. I love to give my wife because I love her.
Amen.
And I want to express my love. I'll give her flowers. I'll give her roses. It's been a while, so I need to do that this week. But I love to give. Don't take it because I love her. And if we love God, we should want to give to God.
Amen.
We should want to give to God because giving should come from the hearts.
Come on. Right.
Should come from the hearts. Huh? So we should give to Christ. We should give to Christ through his church. Huh? Through his church. For the same reasons. Remembering what he has done for us.
Yes.
Huh? What he has done for us. What and where would we be without him? Where would I be without him? Where would you be without him?
Yes. Come on now.
Where would you be without him?
Yes.
Huh? When you give, you become more grateful to God.
Amen.
Though he was rich, he became poor for you so that you can become rich.
Jesus.
Huh? If you just think about that just for a second. He was rich, but he became poor for you. Think about that for just 2 minutes. Think about how rich he was in heaven. But yet he became poor for you. Huh? Shouldn't we repay God? Huh? Shouldn't we repay the Lord? Second reason is that the church is the only organization. Listen, the church is the only organization Jesus said he would build.
Come on now. Come on.
He said, and upon this rock, I will build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail. That is a promise. That is a promise for us, church. So we need to stand on that promise. God, you said you're going to build your church. God, use me to build it.
Yes, amen.
Use me to build it. I don't want to tear it down. I want to build it up.
Yes.
He says, the church, he says, this is the only organization that Jesus said he would build. That's the second reason why we should give. Because he said, I will build my church.
Right.
He said, I will build my church. Good. That's Matthew 16, verse 18. Mm. I will build my church. In other words, the church of all time. The church everywhere belongs to Jesus.
Right, yes, amen.
When he says my church, he acknowledges his ownership. And not only does the church, is he talking about the church as a whole, but he's also talking about this local church, that this local church belongs to him.
Yes.
Victory Outreach Grand Prairie belongs to him.
Yes.
He's building Victory Outreach Grand Prairie.
Yes.
He is building Victory Outreach Grand Prairie.
Yes.
It is Jesus that is building VOGP.
Yes.
And if something was to happen to me, he would still build VOGP because it's his church.
Yes.
It's his church. Amen. And he's building this church.
Right.
He is building this church. And so when you give, you're giving to building his church.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You're giving to build it. Every time you pay your tithes, every time you give your offering, you're building his church.
Right.
You're helping. You said, I want to help you build your church. Jesus, I want to help. I want to help.
Yes.
Huh?
Right. Come on.
We have to think of it like this. And you got to think of it. When you give, you're giving to help him build his church.
Yeah.
Jesus owns the people. Jesus owns the building. This is why if we wanted to buy this building, we could buy this building. Because this building don't belong to the landlord. It belongs to Jesus. And if Jesus wants to give it to us, then Jesus will give it to us.
Yeah.
Because it's his church.
Right. Thank
you, Jesus. Huh? You know, it can be a good thing to give to ministries other than the church. You know, there's other ministries other than the church. You see them on TV. You'll see them. They're called parachurch ministries. But only one organization is the church. You got Feed the Hungry. You know, you have, you know, give towards the dogs and the cats. Right? That are abused. Come on, somebody, right? You got all kinds of reasons. You got all those reasons that you can give towards. But listen, only one organization is the church, the bride of Christ, for whom he died. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her.
Amen.
All other ministries exist or should exist to support the church. That's why they're called parachurch ministries. I used to work for a parachurch ministry back in the day. When I graduated the home, the first day I graduated the home, I got a job and it was a parachurch ministry. It was a food pantry. They had a church. They had a food pantry. They had a place where they would help people find jobs. They had all kinds of things. They even had apartments where if you were homeless, they would put you in an apartment.
Amen.
Huh? But this parachurch ministry, they didn't really focus so much on the church. They focused more a lot on like the food pantry and stuff. And the church seemed like it was kind of struggling. That's the church I told you that one time the pastor pulled me to the side. And he says, hey, called me to his office. He said, I want to talk to you. And then all of a sudden he whips out his checkbook, you know, because he knew that I was a youth leader at my church. And he said, I want to talk to you. He brought me into his office as a pastor. And he says, hey, you know, he whipped out his checkbook. And he says, how much are they paying you there over there at Victory?
Come on, Pastor.
I said, what? I said, first of all, with all respect, sir, it's called Victory Outreach. V-O.
Come on now.
V to the O. Second of all, I'm not for hire.
That's good, Pastor.
Not a hireling. I didn't tell him that, you know. I had to be a little smooth, you know. He was my boss. Come on now.
That's right.
But I said, you know, I said, I don't do this for money.
Right.
I don't do this for money. And says, thirdly, listen, I know where I'm called.
Hello. Yeah.
No offense, I know you got a church, and I praise God for your church, but I know where I'm called.
Right, amen.
Right.
Huh? If God called me there, then I'd be there. But I'm not called there. God called me to victory outreach. God placed me here in this ministry. And this is where I'm going to stay. This is where I'm going to grow. This is where I'm going to serve. And this is where I'm going to give. This is where I'm going to give my tithes. This is where I'm going to sacrifice. This is where I'm going to give my offering. This is where I'm going to get married. This is where I'm going to answer the call. This is where the plan of God is going to be fulfilled in my life. This is where I was birthed into. I was birthed in fire. I can't settle for the smoke. I dare you try to find another church. Come on.
Hello.
No, I don't dare you. Don't do that. You got to stay in the fire. Stay in the fire. And so Jesus, he acknowledges his ownership for the church. And you know, parachurch ministries are great. They're great. But they should exist to support the church.
Amen. That's right.
The word para means by the side of. By the side of. Para. Para church. In other words, that ministry should come alongside the church to support the church's ministry.
Amen.
And if our primary giving is to any other ministry than the local church, we are actually helping to displace the church.
Right.
And we got to make sure that, listen, it's okay to give to those other organizations, but your primary source to give to should be the body of Christ. Should be the body of Christ. Thirdly, before I move on to the third point, if you love Jesus, you will want to give to support what he is doing in the church.
Amen.
You would love to give to what he's doing in the world.
Huh?
He said, I'm going to build my church. So we should love to support what he's building.
Amen.
Thirdly, giving helps to fulfill the Great Commission.
Hello, come on now. Amen.
Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus, what is he saying? He's saying, go preach my name. Go make disciples. Go save people in all the world. In all the world, not just locally. This is why we're internationally. We don't have these flags just because they look good. We have these flags, man, because we want to preach Jesus in these countries. We want to preach Jesus to be preached in Canada and in Russia and in China and in Africa and in Europe and in South America. We want Jesus to be preached. Listen, if you might not be able to go, but your finances can go, your money can go, and if you do decide to go, and if you can go, listen, American Airlines ain't going to give you a free flight. Southwest ain't going to give you a free fly. The Spirit ain't going to give you a free fly. It's going to cost some money. And the money should come from the church to send the leaders, to send the pastors, to send the disciples, to preach the gospel to the nations. We are the church. And when we give, we help fulfill the Great Commission.
And I
haven't seen no other ministry do it better than Victory Outreach International.
Yeah, that's right.
We are a worldwide ministry.
Yeah.
We got United We Can. We got Run for Hope. We're fulfilling that purpose.
Yes.
We our founders, our elders, we have a vision for the world.
Right.
To reach the world.
Right.
We have that vision. It's in our hearts. Why? Because we obey Christ.
Yeah.
To obey Christ. You can't go to all the nations, but others are willing to go on your behalf.
Amen.
Maybe you can't be a missionary. Maybe you can't be a missionary to all the 50 states in the United States, but others are willing to go for you. And when you give to the local church, when you give to United We Can, When you give to United, we can. We send support to those who do go. We send support to those who are making disciples. So even if you're unhappy with what's taking place here, and I hope you're not, but at least you can give to what's taking place somewhere else. You provide resources for men and women who have sacrificed much. These missionaries, they left their homes. Listen, yesterday, my wife went to Houston to preach. You know, she was like a little missionary for us. Hello, somebody. Beautiful missionary. Hot missionary. I better behave. But anyway, she went. She took a team, a worship team, because they didn't have worship. So she took a team, you know, and they were able to go. You know, Sister Maria drove them. Her and my daughters preached. She played the piano. Jeanette, right? Amen. Jose. We're like a little team. We sent them. Come on, somebody. But there was giving that went involved. Amen. Huh? There was giving that went involved. You know, I stayed back, you know, because there was a lot of things to do. I had to prepare for my message. Amen. You know. There's a few fellowships going on, you know. I had to, you know, with kids going there, me going, different things that had to be done. You know, and mainly I had to prepare for my message, mainly. You know, I said, man, if I go, man, I'm going to be on the road, man. I ain't going to get to really get prepared for my message. So I said, man, I got to stay. I said, you know, hey, honey, see if somebody will go. Because I was like, I wanted to go to help her drive, you know. But, you know, so she went and Sister Maria said, you know, I said, see if anybody will go with you. So, you know, Sister Maria went with her. She drove her, you know. And then, you know, and she, that's part of giving.
Yes.
There was gas involved in that. But besides all that, that's not my point. My point is this. I was there. And I was, you know, kind of praying and, you know, reading and getting ready for my message, getting my heart right, getting my spirit right. And all of a sudden, I get a message all the way from the other side of the world.
Come on.
From South Africa. One of my pastor friends there, Vic Charles Pretoria. We hardly talk, you know. You know, when we see each other at conferences, we talk. We both are products from the gang. And he just messaged me out of nowhere. He says, you know, he said, I want you to know that I'm praying for you.
Amen.
And he started, and he just encouraged me. He says, you know, from one pastor to another pastor, I know it gets hard. Amen. And listen, he got a big church. I mean, his church is, you know, Africa, there's revival taking place.
Yeah.
His church has only been there for like 4 or 5 years, and they got about 500-600 people. You know, but it really meant a lot, you know. And he's like, man, you know, he's reaching out, and he just said, I just want to know, I'm thinking of you, praying for you, you know, from one pastor to another, you know, I know it's hard. You know, but, you know, we're in this together. And he said, if you win, we all win.
Amen.
And I said, man, praise God. I said, wow, you know, I mean, this guy, man, he has a church of 500-600 people. He has elders and probably the founders going to his church. But he took the time to reach out here.
Wow, come on now. Amen.
To reach out here. I should be the one reaching out to him and encouraging him. Which I tried my best. I said, man, I'm praying for you, man. When you come to the States, man, we need to bring you into Texas. And we love you. We're praying for you. You know? But you know what? I look at that and says, you know, we're a part of what's going on there. That's why you can't get upset when we raise up thousands of dollars for Run for Hope, and you can't let the devil lie to you. And why are we, there's needs here, and why are we sending thousands of dollars to United We Can, and why are we giving to Run for Hope, and there's needs here, we can use the money here. Listen, because there's needs everywhere, my friend, and God has given us a global mandate. God has given us a global vision, and we're a part. The world is smaller than what you think, my friend. The world is smaller than what you think, and you never know. One day, America might just need South Africa's help. You never know. The shoe might be on the other end one day. And we're going to be praying for United We Can members from over there to send money over here.
Hello.
You ain't hearing me. Give. And you know, this guy, his name is Pastor, what's his name? Pastor Louis. This guy, listen, young guy, single pastor. Wow. He's about to get married, though. He went over there and found him an African. From what I know, hopefully it's not wrong. You know, but from what I know. And you know, but he was a single guy. single pastor. And they and Pastor Sonny said, hey, we need you to go. He was a single guy. We need you to go be a missionary over there.
Oh, come on.
You know, go over there. He wasn't supposed to go over there and be a pastor. He was just supposed to be a part of the ministerial team.
Wow. Come on.
But he went over there. And then all of a sudden, you know, something happened. He ended up being the senior pastor of that church.
Wow.
And the church, he started it. He pioneered it. There was no people.
Wow.
But in 5 years, he's able been able to grow the people for the church from nothing to 500 plus.
Yeah.
But that's not the kick. Listen, he's an American. He's a Mexican.
Come on, man.
He loves tacos like I love tacos.
Hey, man.
They don't sell tacos in South Africa.
Oh,
I mean, they probably do, but they ain't like, come on, somebody. Huh? He left his family. He left his brothers and sisters. He left his mom and dad. He left the church that he grew up in.
Wow.
Vicarage Garden Grove.
Wow.
He left. Imagine the friendships we have here just in the church, right? Don't you love each other?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on now. I better say amen. Come on now.
Amen.
You love each other, right? You like hanging out with each other. We love each other. He left all that. His friendships.
Wow.
To go to a people he did not know.
Wow.
To go to a people he didn't even look like.
Wow.
Huh? But he went. He was a missionary. You see, some of these missionaries, they have left their homes, their friends, their extended families. They turned their backs on more better opportunities.
Wow.
They walked away from a familiar culture. It's very hard for them. It may be very hard for them to even serve where they're at because they have language barriers and culture barriers. But by giving to United We Can, you're making things easier.
Amen.
By supporting Run for Hope and getting behind us, we make things just a little bit easier.
Amen.
Fourthly, giving is a form of worship. Giving is a form of worship. It's a form of worship. Giving is an act of worship. That's what Josh said. See, it ought then to be, if it's an act of worship, then it ought to be our focal point of thanksgiving and self-dedication every time we come to service. When the church in Philippi collected money for the furtherance of the gospel or Paul's ministry, listen to how he describes their gift. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Maybe they can put it on the screen. Listen how Paul describes their gift. They gave to Paul's ministry a sweet smelling aroma.
Yes, yes.
A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
I have received full payment. This is, I received the offering. I received the honorarium. Mm. And he says, and have more than enough.
Wow.
They didn't give him just the baseline. You know, when ministers come, we bless them.
Amen.
When a minister comes, a Victory Outreach, and there's a minimum that we give. There's a minimum of $200 that we give them.
Amen.
You know, it's called an honorarium.
That's right.
Huh? Here, they gave him more than an honorarium. He says, and I have more than enough. It says, I am amply supplied.
Come on.
That's what we do when we give to a minister. Amen. We supply them.
Yes.
Huh? He says, I'm not be supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering.
Oh, come on.
To who? To him?
Nope.
To him? Is Paul getting the money and dollar bills, y'all?
Huh?
Is that what he's saying? No, my friend. He says it's a fragrant offering to the Lord. It smells good to the Lord. An acceptable sacrifice. Pleasing.
Wow.
To God.
Right.
Amen.
Pleasing to God. Giving is a form of worship. He says to them, what you gave to me through your church was like the placing of a sacrificial lamb on the altar in the Old Testament. An act of worship to God. Paul also teaches them, and he teaches us, that God is well pleased when we worship by giving. Just as he is when we worship by praying and singing worship songs, just like we feel like he's pleased by our worship, in the same way he's pleased when you give. When you came up here and gave on the altar,
yeah.
he is pleased.
Yeah.
He is, God is looking down and he's smiling.
Yeah.
God ain't a God of emotion like we are. He has emotions, but he's not all emotional like we.
Mm.
Come on now.
Huh? God's emotions on another level. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Sometimes we get caught up just in emotions and, oh yeah, it feels. It's your breath in our lungs, on, and we pour out our prayer, and we get it, man. We get in it, right? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? But the same way we have that expression in worship, we should have that expression in giving.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Huh? That in the same way our heart is when we lift our hands is the same way our heart should be when we put give in the offering bucket.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Come on.
Huh? So well-pleasing. No, it's true that giving to the church helps pay the bills and pays for the ministry. It's
That's right.
true.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
But more important to know is that the act of putting money in an offering plate is an act of devotion to God.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Wow. That's right.
Right.
Amen. It's not just about when you give, okay, I'm help supporting the church. Your mentality shouldn't be solely for that. But your mentality or the placement of your heart when you give should be this is devotion to God.
Right.
This is worship to God.
Right.
Huh? Because when we give it in the offering bucket,
Amen.
It's like we're offering this to God.
Amen.
We're giving to God. Giving to God is our worship. It's worship because when you give to God through the church, you are giving a part of yourself.
Amen.
Did you know that? When you give your tithes, you're tithe, right? 10%. You know, whatever it is. For some of you, it's 100. For some of you, it's 200. For some of you, it's 150. For some of you, it's 50. But think about that tithe percent. When you give that tithe, that's you giving a part of yourself.
Right.
Come on.
That's you giving a part of your work week. That's you giving a part of your strength. That's
right.
you giving a part of your sweat. That's you giving a part of your heart and soul. Why? Because guess what? That $50 is like 5 hours of your job. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? That 150 whatever is like 5-6 hours of your. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
So it's a form of worship because it's a form of you giving of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
A form of, that's why it's connected to, you know, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice,
Woo-hoo.
Holy and acceptable to God. This is why when we say give your first fruits, in other words, when you give your whole check, that means that's symbolic that you've given God. I'm giving
Amen.
You everything, God.
That's right,
Amen.
Right.
Huh? And every once in a while, it's healthy to do that, to flip
Amen.
Over your whole check.
Right.
Of course, prepare for it and plan for it.
Amen.
How do you do it? You know, how do I do it? I would do it. I'll still do it.
Right.
You pay, you make sure you pay 2 months of rent ahead of time.
Amen.
Make sure you set aside money, two months of bills ahead of time so that you're not in a rut.
Amen.
And
right.
you give your first fruits. Huh? And what is it? It's symbolic, God, I'm giving you everything, God.
Right. Amen.
Huh? So listen, when you give, being that giving is an act of worship, and the piano player can come up. I'll give you the rest next week. Being that giving is an act of worship, when you come give, you should utter a brief silent prayer.
Yes.
Such as, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I love you, Jesus. Because it's an act of worship. Sometimes, remember, we just come up here and we just give it. Just because, I got a tithe. And you just come and you're not even thinking that it's an act of worship. Your giving is an act of worship. So when you give, you come and put your tithes or your offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Huh? So we might say, God, this represents all of me, part of me that I give to you. Because if we don't do that, if we don't think of the giving like that, it can become something else. It can be something else. It can be something else other than an act of worship. And we're not actually worshiping. Just like I can get up here and preach and not even think about God.
Wow.
A preacher can preach and not even think about God.
Wow.
People can come to church
wow.
and not think about God.
Man.
They can sing and not even think about God. So you can also give without thinking of God.
That's right.
This is hypocrisy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And at worst, spiritual carelessness. We're not even It's just we're just doing it. It's like, I'm giving my tithes because Pastor and Josh and Irving yell at us every Sunday and every Friday to give our tithes. So that's why I'm going to give a tithe. You know? No. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience. That's why we give to God. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience. And that's why we give to the Lord. Giving to the Lord. My last point, 6 for today. For today is this. Is that giving to God means nothing if you haven't first given yourself to God. Amen. Giving to God means nothing if you haven't first given yourself to the Lord. You know, people can come. Remember, you can give without loving. But your giving means nothing. Your giving has no value. Your giving has no eternal value unless you first give yourself to Jesus. Right? Because when you give, you're storing up riches in heaven. But if you don't give your life to Jesus, you ain't going to heaven. If you don't surrender your life to Jesus, you're not going to heaven. So you're just giving, you know, you're just giving, but you ain't never going to reap nothing here or, you know, in heaven. So we need to first give our lives to the Lord. Listen, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Let me put it on the screen. Listen to what it says. Is it there? Oh, slow pokes. Okay. Sorry, sound team. My fault. Forgive me. Listen to it. 2 Corinthians 8:5. Listen to what Paul says when he describes their giving. He says, they first gave themselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Then also to us. In other words, they didn't give merely to fulfill an obligation. They willingly gave money because they had already given their heart to Jesus. Listen, it's going to be hard for you to give anything if you don't first give your heart to Jesus. You have to understand, you can't buy God's favor. No amount of money, whether given at one time or in a lifetime, can purchase a ticket to heaven. Until a person comes to Jesus Christ, whose death pardoned our sins, giving to church brings no gain at the judgment or beyond the judgment. It's only after a person has given his life to Jesus that his sins are forgiven. Sins are forgiven. We must first give our lives to Jesus. That's where it all begins. Give yourself to the Lord first, or the rest is meaningless. So my question to you here this morning is, have you given yourself to the Lord? Wow. Have you given yourself to the Lord? And if so, do you give to His church? Do you give to His church? Have you given yourself to the Lord? And if you have, do you give to His church, which He's building?
Right.
He's building this church.
Amen.
He's building the church. You stand to your feet here this morning. And today you may be here, and if you haven't surrendered your life to God, this is the day of salvation, the Bible declares. Today is the day of salvation. I know the church can catch a lot of heat, you know, and say, if you're a visitor, you say, see, I told you, man. Oh, I knew they were going to talk about money. But listen, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, keep your money, but give your heart to Jesus first. Give your heart to Jesus first.
Right, amen.
You know, I was talking to some of the leaders before service, and I said, you know, I'm going to talk about giving today. See, you know, and sometimes it's hard because, you know, Sunday morning is the good group of the church, you know. New people come and things like that, and you might turn people off. Talk about money, people get funny, right? I said, but you know what? This is what the church needs to hear. The church needs to be built up because not everybody comes on Friday nights.
Come on, Pastor.
I could preach it on Friday, but the Friday crowd is like, they're like sold out, man. They like come Friday, Sunday morning, Sunday night.
Right.
They're you know, sometimes you know, the giving is bigger on Friday than on Sundays. Sometimes, you know. I said, no. The Sunday morning crowd got to hear this.
Right.
And not every, there's, you know, we're a giving church. We're a giving church. You know, it's evident that we're a giving church. You know, not just through Run for Hope and United We Can, but even through our tithes and offerings. You know, we're a giving church. But the reason why we're a giving church is because us as pastors, we're not afraid to preach on giving and teach the people about giving. I was teaching you this morning. Did I say this morning, and then I didn't get to that point, but I didn't say that give because God will get back to you.
Come on.
That was none of my points. My all points were biblical.
Amen.
Give because you love Jesus.
Yes.
And you're grateful to Jesus. Give because you're building his church.
Wow.
Give because it's about reaching the world.
Right.
Give because it's an act of worship.
Amen.
So we, you know, I'm not here saying, you know, name it and claim it, or, you know,
right,
give this and you're going to get that. There's blessings in giving, yeah.
Amen.
But I'm teaching the church on how to give biblically.
Amen.
Right, amen.
Through what the scripture says.
Yes, right.
You know? If I was preaching something else, yeah, label me a prosperity preacher and label me materialistic.
Come on.
But I'm not preaching that stuff.
That's right.
I'm talking about winning souls and building a ministry and building the church of Jesus Christ and building the church that he said he would build.
Amen.
I'm just doing what Jesus. I'm just coming alongside Jesus.
Right.
Building alongside of him. You know, it's building alongside of the Lord. And that's how we raise up a strong church.
Yes.
That's how we raise up a strong church. Pastor Ed would say, you know, you want to know the strength of the church?
That's right.
The strength of the church is by what comes in the giving.
Amen.
Some people think it's the numbers and the crowd and, you know. You can have a big crowd, and I say it all the time. Sometimes we have a big crowd and the giving's low. And sometimes we have a smaller crowd and the giving's so high because it's just all the committed, sold out ones that are crazy for Jesus. And they just want to be so grateful. They want to give to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I challenge you, man. You should. Sometimes it's a little fuller than other times. And probably when you see it a little, some you probably should. We should give all the time.
Right.
Sacrificially.
Right.
But this makes us a strong church.
Amen.
Makes us a strong ministry. You know, and as God gives us wisdom, he gives us wisdom, the leadership, the pastoralship, to allocate the funds where they need to go, to what ministries, and where, you know, wherever they need to go, it builds up the body of Christ. And I think we are a healthy church. Healthy church. We do our best to provide the best worship service for you. You know, through everything. You know. But it takes the people of God, their giving, from their heart to God. Just remember that when you give, you're giving to God. It's an act of worship. But first, you got to give yourself to God. You got to give yourself to God. And if you've walked away from God, you got to come back to God. Because he wants your heart. He wants your heart. As every head is bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe I backslid or maybe backslid. You say, you know what? I want to surrender my life to Christ here this morning. I want to pray for you. I want to lead you in prayer. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here, you want to give your life to Jesus? Anybody here, you want to give your life to God? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say a prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this morning we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us, God. For teaching us, God, biblical principles on giving. God, I pray, God, that Lord, that we would be, that you would give us a giving heart. Continue to give us a giving heart. A giving heart. God, I pray, God, that it would overflow, God, into the areas in our lives. That, God, we just wouldn't give our finances, but we would also give our time and our talent and our resources for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we have a vision, God, that you've given us the commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that you have taught us. And God, Lord, God, we have a good church. We have good leaders coming up, God. We got men and women that are willing to lay down their life. God, there's arrows in the quiver, God, that want to take a city one day, God. They want to run a men's home, God. They want to open up a women's home, God. They want to have a D home. They want to disciple. They want to pour themselves out, God. Some, God, have a burden even to do full-time ministry, God. But they know, God, that they have to support the family, God. But, Lord, through our giving, you can get us to a place, God, where we can support ministers. We can support a church that we launch out, Father. We don't want to launch out a church and for them to struggle, God. And the pastor and the pastor's wife have to go out and try to get a job because they can't, because they need finances. But God, we want to be the mother church, God, that can support the work, God, and we can send faithfully, God, finances, God, so that the pastor and his wife and his family can focus on hitting the streets and winning souls, God, and discipling people, God. Lord, there's men and women that are willing to lay down their life, God. But sometimes it's the finances that hold us back, God. And Father God, I pray, God, that Lord God, even though, God, we don't have millionaires in our church, God, but we have good people with good hearts, God. Lord, and you bless them, God. They may not, God, have everything. They may not have a lot, but what they have, they give. And I pray that they would continue to give and you'll take their giving to another level. Those that, God, maybe don't give offerings, that they'll begin to give offerings. Those that are not a member of United We Can, that they'll become a member of United We Can, starting off with $1 a day. Because they're catching the overall vision. Even though they may not ever go, but yet they're standing, God, with you and believing for the world, for the harvest. I pray that you would raise up more United We Can members, God. Let more. I pray that today there would be a conviction on some of the church's heart, God, to become United We Can, to be consistent. They will continue to give to Run for Hope, God. They will continue to get behind our founders and our elders and raise finances for world missions. We thank you, Father God. We love you, God, because you're faithful. This morning, if you're here and you say, you know what? I want to take my giving to another level. I want to take my giving to another level. I feel like I can give more, not just financially. I want to do it financially, but I also want to do it in my personal life. I feel like I can give more. I feel like God is challenging me and provoking me to give more. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come to the altar. And offer yourself as a living sacrifice and say, God, here I am. I want my giving to grow. I want my giving to be an act of worship. Maybe you haven't been looking at your giving as an act of worship. You've heard it and it's kind of cliche, but you've never really thought of it, how it was brought out today. And you say, you know what, I really need to start thinking of my giving as an act of worship. When I give my envelope, when I give my tithe, I need to say a prayer and thank the Lord. I need to praise God. My attitude in my heart needs to be a little different. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, God. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to commit myself to be a United We Can member. I'm going to go to the next level in United We Can. I've been lacking even in Run for Hope, and I'm going to get behind, and I'm going to raise more finances to world missions.
because it's about giving myself. That's what Jesus did. He gave himself. He, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You say, you know what? I want to give myself because Jesus gave himself. I want to give more. I want to give more. I want to give more finances, more time, more talent. Some of you, you need to give more of your talent, more of your time to the Lord within the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, let the grace that was on the Macedonian churches fall upon our church.
none.